Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
All right, everybody. Welcome for another episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. This week, we're going to have a phenomenal guest, Dr. Jeff Scammerhorn, out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and he's going to be talking to us and sharing with each of you the trajectory of his practice, some of the challenges that he's faced, how he's overcome those challenges, the outcome of that. Jeff happens to be one of our past mastermind attendees, and then we'll also talk to him about how he's implemented implants and the challenges he faced, some strategies for implementation, and kind of how he's seen some significant growth from implant dentistry in his practice. So I'll let him share all of that with you. But before we get to Jeff, let us pay homage to our number one sponsor. Let's bring Meredith on to do the sales pitch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You know, one day we're not going to be the only sponsor that we have. It's going to be very sad.
No, it'll be a great day because, you know, if that means somebody else is giving us money other than me.
But right now, our only sponsor is 3D Dentist. And since we have had quite a few of our courses sold out for the year, we have added a few courses. We have a 3D printing in Nashville, October 15th and 16th.
I'm super excited. We haven't announced it yet, but we're going to have a new training center in Nashville, Tennessee at yes. Sullivan Dental Partners. So super excited about that. But I'll let you keep going, Meredith.
Okay. So we have our 3D printing course in Nashville. We will have Sleep 1 and, back by popular demand, Sleep 2. That will be November 11th and 12th and November 13th and 14th. And then since our last digital implant continuums, the last two were sold out and we had a great time in June for the Express. We have added an Express November digital implant continuum, November the 15th through the 20th. So if I can help you get signed up for any of these, we'd love for you to join us at the retreat.
Yeah, you know, the Express program in June was way better than I expected.
It was a lot of fun.
It was, what did my wife call it? She said,
we looked like we were on vacation.
Yeah, but it didn't, I didn't feel
I was
like
very I'm tired. I told you, we work really hard to be on vacation like that.
For those of you that don't know, the Express program is 6 days here in Raleigh. We highly encourage you to stay at the retreat. You're nuts if you don't. And it is simply phenomenal. Great education, great live patient training, great camaraderie, great overall experience. But enough selling to you guys this week. We want to bring Jeff on and talk to him about his practice and make this all about him today. So everybody, let's welcome Jeff. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Can you actually hear us this time?
Yes, I can hear you.
Take two.
Perfect. Perfect. He can hear us, which is phenomenal. So,
I should start miming over here, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jeff, if you don't mind, give our listeners a brief, you know, a little brief about you, who you are, where you're at, how, when you graduated, how long you've been in practice, and a little bit about your practice.
Okay. Well, I'm a general dentist in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I graduated in 2018 from the University of Oklahoma. I worked as an associate for about a year. I hated it. And I stumbled upon the practice that I found about mid-2019. And it just turned out that the selling doctor, she was kind of ready to start stepping away. And it worked out. We were actually both left-handed. I knew her as from a past. My brother played ball with her sons. And so it's just different things like that. And it worked out really well. Transition was fantastic. We couldn't have asked for a better transition. I've got great patients, great team. And we've kind of rolled into things. And then, 6 months later, the world shut down. So that was fun. But it's been great. So I've been in my practice for almost 2 full years now. And I love every minute of it.
So tell me this. So you were looking to buy a practice. You didn't you were looking to buy a practice. You weren't kind of looking for an associateship, or you just kind of were doing both at the same time?
I actually looked at starting a practice from scratch right off the bat. And I knew from the beginning I really wanted to own my own practice one way or another. And just kind of worked my way through it. Found a really great associateship. I liked the doc that I worked for. He was a really good guy. We worked well together. We kind of worked opposite of each other. We owned two practices. And I was kind of ran my own show while I was there. But I still just didn't like having all the decisions that I really wanted to have, because I still worked for somebody else. He was a great mentor that first year, and I happened to find this practice that I own now, and that's all she wrote. It was fantastic. I was actually on the verge of leaving his office and starting my own to begin with whenever I found this practice, so it worked out as best as you could ask for it, really. Yeah. It's like 3 miles from where I live. And my commute's 7 minutes in the morning, and then in the afternoon I can go home for lunch, things like that. So, and actually I'm maybe half a mile from a pin close to where I put a pin on an intersection close to where we live. And I said, this is kind of like the epicenter of where I want to look for either buying a practice or starting a practice. And I'm literally half a mile from that intersection. So
oh, that's pretty amazing. What was the transition like when you bought your practice? How long did the seller stay? What were some pluses and minuses to that? What would you tell other people that are getting ready to buy a practice? What kind of advice would you give them?
I really like the way we did our transition. We originally planned she was going to stay on with us for about 2 years. So she was actually originally slotted to leave. It was actually 2.5 years, because it would have been the February of 2022. Then the world shut down, things kind of slowed down a little bit, and it just wasn't really working well for her as an associate. And, we weren't super busy at that time whenever we were trying to, things shut down and we were working our way back. And she lives kind of all the way across town, so she was like, hey, I'm going to step away. She works, I think, like 2 days a week or 2 days a month at an office close to near where she lives. Or was a while ago. I think she might even have completely retired by now. But it worked really well. I really liked it. It was fantastic having her there. One, she'd been practicing for 20, 30 years. So she had a lot of really great experience. So it was nice if I ran into something. I'm like, hey, what can I do here in a situation? It's fun to have somebody to bounce ideas off of. But then it also worked great because we had a lot of patients that had been there with her for a really, really long time. I'm talking 20, 25 years that they've seen the same dentist. So whenever she was coming in and saying, hey, this is Dr. Jeff, he's going to do great. I've known him for a long time. He's a fantastic dentist. It really helped kind of encourage patients to not be worried as much. And the beard helps a little bit to make it look like I'm not 12, but, most people were like, You're
are you old
dentist.
Enough?
I'm not sure.
Well,
you get that question.
Speaking of the beard, I do want our listeners to know, our people that are watching our video will see, your beard is red and your hair is brown. Yes. So yes. I've never seen such a combination. And your skin is so white.
Thank you.
I literally glow in the dark.
But when we have an eclipse, they can't see your beard. So,
right. I just kind of, that's it.
All right.
Well, yeah, I think what's really cool is we met Jeff at the end of 2019.
Yeah.
For once, I met him before you. For once, I can say that. But I think it's cool that we've been able to see your transition and see how your practice has grown. And I know we'll talk about that. But it's not very often that we meet people as soon as they're buying their practice and getting going like that. Typically, it's 5 or 10 years in.
Yeah. So, so
it's kind of a weird situation, I think. I bought my practice.
Unique. Very unique.
I heard Dr. Magoo on your podcast and was like, man, I'm not doing sedation. I need to if I want to do anything cool. And so it all started there.
And then I told you, we're going to see you again.
Yeah, you did. You told me we're going to see you again. I was like, okay, maybe. And then like 2 weeks later, I called Sully and was like, hey, do you have a spot in the mastermind available?
So, well, you bring up.
I sat next to Amy and she was kind of the one that was like, you should do this. You should really do that. It's super cool. I just finished the mastermind.
Yeah,
I guess I got to kind of give her props too for getting me started.
Well, I think that's a good segue into the conversation. So I want to make sure that I make a note to come back to oral sedation because I think it's probably one of the most underutilized services that we offer, that we should be offering in our practices to help it grow. So maybe as we kind of get into some of the clinical stuff, you can touch on that a little bit. But what brought you to the mastermind? I mean, tell us what challenges you were facing, you know, what you were hoping to accomplish, that kind of thing.
I think my biggest thing was I was 2 years out of school, not even 2 years out of school. I owned a practice at the time, and I was just getting started, and I was like, I have honestly no clue where I was going. My team is fantastic. I had really good transition, but there was still just those couple things. It's like, I don't know what to do, how to grow. And I think the biggest thing for me was I just really wanted to start off on the right foot. And as we started, kind of got into it at the mastermind, I found out there was a lot more that I needed to work on than what I really thought. But it was really for me just kind of, I wanted to really get going in the right direction. Especially being so fresh as I was. And it really put us on a trajectory to where I think we're leaps and bounds ahead of where we would have been, even with, you know, shutting down for COVID, even with, you know, struggling through some of those things of losing the previous doctor, things like that. And we ended up bouncing back really well. And a lot of it I kind of would attribute to things that I learned while at the mastermind and since then.
Oh, great. Well, you kind of mentioned that you realize there's some things, I'm paraphrasing. So I want you to give us some examples of, you said something along the lines of, you realize there's more for you to work on than what you realized. So can you give us some examples of some of those things?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Oh, I mean, there was a ton of stuff once I really started breaking down into it as far as just scheduling correctly and scheduling in a way that made it to where we were doing what I wanted to do, I guess you would say, and not just scheduling. And also really focusing on kind of some of those procedures that one are going to be something that I enjoy more. I really have enjoyed getting more into surgery and every time we kind of push it. We're like, hey, you really need an implant here, right? Or you really, you know, and so it's just exciting for me. It's something that my team enjoys. And we kind of all got behind it. And so a lot of the stuff that I realized at the mastermind was really more organizational, you know, trying to keep the team in line and getting kind of the old guard, new guard kind of thing squared away and just different things like that. And also just really, really, I guess, I think the biggest thing was just getting started on the right foot. I mean, as far as everything from scheduling to teamwork to just leadership and organization.
That's great. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better answer to that. So what would you say you, what's changed in your practice from going through the mastermind? Now it's been a year and a half now since you started, I believe, correct?
I think that, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing really are our scheduling. And to be able to block stuff off and be able to, you know, we had somebody come in that needed an implant and we were able to actually kind of figure things out, and we actually placed an immediate implant not too long ago, and I never would have thought twice about throwing that in there previously before we switched up our scheduling like we do now, just because it was, you know, MO here, DO here, like just fill the schedule
scattered
with everything you possibly can, and now it's more thought through, it's more we've got things blocked out, we've got blocks that I know if I had something come in, then it'd be, hey, I know it's going to go here or on this day or at this time. And we have it really set up to where we can actually work through things. I get to do a lot more of what I like to do now rather than a lot of fillings. Because that's honestly what we were doing. I was doing like fillings and seating crowns and in one day. And it's like, man, we did like $200 worth of stuff today. And
you get a filling and you get a filling.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what it was. It was like everybody was like, you got one filling and you got one filling and we seated a crown and my back hurts from, you know,
I don't know.
All day. And then did you guys just hear like a beep?
No,
sorry, that was me. I didn't know if you could hear it. My computer's making noises. But, you know, it's one of those, your back's hurting from doing all this stuff. And then it's like, oh man, at the end of the day, I looked at my production. I'm like, I don't even know that I like that paid for the filling material that we did today.
I'm not even sure that was worth it. I should go drive Amazon trucks.
Exactly. I was going to have to pick up like a Starbucks evening shift or something. You know, they give it away free Spotify at least. So it was one of those, you know, our scheduling has changed tremendously. Our team, I feel like our team really works much more smoothly together. And a lot of it has to do with just kind of the way we've organized things.
It's more the leadership, really kind of, right? It's not that you have different, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to point this out. It's not that you have different and all new team members. It's just you're approaching what you want out of your practice differently. It's called leadership.
Well, and priorities. In our case, we do have quite a few new team members too. But
they're more additions,
a lot of
correct?
That doesn't really have anything to do with, they were additions.
Yeah.
We had somebody retire recently. You know, I did lose my hygienist that had been there for a long time, but we've kind of worked through those transitions. And I think, like you said, just leadership base and things like that, stuff that I never would have thought about to focus on and to pay attention to, was brought to light and kind of went, oh man, I can do this in my practice as far as from a leadership standpoint. And boom, it actually works. You know, it's one of those things where you read something or you hear something and somebody tells you, and then you're like, no, okay, let me try it. And then you're like, holy cow, it actually did what they said it would do. And that's exactly what it felt like, because we kind of, you know, started implementing all kinds of, you know, all the stuff we talked about through the mastermind.
Can you give us some examples?
Just put you
on the spot a little bit.
Like, yeah, like championing people.
Right.
I actually just moved one of my assistants to a treatment coordinator position. And I was terrified doing that because I'm thinking, man, she's like my surgical assistant. She's just, she does surgery and she does treatment coordinating. And that's the only thing she does as far as in the office now. And I was terrified going, oh man, I only have one assistant really to do all the restorative stuff now. You know, she handles the surgery side of things, but even then I was like, I don't know how we're going to do this. But, you know, as we talked to T-Bone and Solly and they said it works. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this. We're just going to give it a whirl. And, we've caught so many things that as far as treatment that we missed, that was getting slipped through the cracks. We found, that patients really enjoy having somebody that they can call and go, hey, you know, Jess I've got a question about this. And
yeah, they like having a point of contact.
Yes, yeah, she's their champion whenever it comes to anything, and she's done a really good job, really taking hold of, you know, financial arrangements and being able to set up payment plans and things like that that really make things affordable for people, to where they're looking at, oh man, I've got a big treatment plan, but then you break it down into a small treatment plan or a small monthly payment, and it's not as terrifying for them. And so we've done a lot more treatment, a lot more work, and we get to have a lot more fun with the stuff we like to do, because we're able to facilitate that and the patients understand it, they feel comfortable, and they don't feel like they're wasting their time.
Yeah, you know, and I think an overlooked area in practice management is, and I hate calling it practice management, but that's what they've called it, is the scheduling. I mean, it is truly what we say in the sense that you do the dentistry you schedule. If you don't schedule anything, like, in other words, you don't prioritize anything, your schedule will literally be a crapshoot, okay? Mm-hmm. If you decide that you're going to do 10 implants a month and you put 10 blocks in a month, magically over time, you get to 10 implants per month. And it's such a overlooked, neglected area. And frankly speaking, it's probably the hardest thing to implement in a sense, because there's a runway before you see any of the results. And that's kind of what I wanted to ask you a little bit, Jeff, is when you started implementing priority or block scheduling, as most people call it block scheduling, we're trying to call it priority scheduling. When you implement that, how long does it take to see the results from that? I mean, it's, you know, you have a hygiene schedule, you have kind of your doctor schedule already pre-scheduled to a certain degree. You know, what were some of the challenges, and how did that come about for you?
It was terrifying, honestly. Whenever we started blocking things off, and I'm like, okay, don't. There's 2 hours that we're not putting anything unless it's an implant, which was terrifying. And then all of a sudden, hey, there's an implant or an extraction, a graft, something that's implant related in that block. I was like, wow, where'd that come from? And I realized it's, like you said, what you scheduled for, you do. And I think the other thing that has helped me a lot in that was I was kind of treatment planning things one tooth at a time. And one thing that we really hit on at the mastermind whenever I was there was really treatment planning as a whole and being more comprehensive about it. Well, then because we were being more comprehensive with our treatment planning, we had to be more comprehensive with our scheduling to make sure we had places to put that. And so I think it probably took us a solid, you know, 2 months to really get everything squared away. We had a couple of days that we're like sitting there twiddling our thumbs going, well, crud, nothing got scheduled here. What happened? But then, you know, a week later it was like, holy cow, this whole day is completely full and I love it. And we still have days every now and then that, you know, I look up and I'm like, why are there 14 seat crowns and 37 fillings all in one day? This is terrible. And then I realize it's cause I have started pushing out my fillings a couple weeks, and instead of doing them like tomorrow or next week, we're doing them in like 3 weeks. Well, then sometimes those 3 weeks all tend to add up and you look up and they put 3 weeks out all in the same day rather than spreading it out. But,
it's what your nightmares are made of.
You can only kick it down the road so far, right?
Right, exactly. And then, you know, it always ends up getting kicked on the same day too. I don't know how that works, but
well,
that day's not blocked.
Well, that tells me that you just need to work on that a little bit, right? You know, it's a constant experiment.
A little bit of everything too. So
yeah,
it's fun. I don't mind fillings. I'd love to find,
don't lie to me, dude. Come on.
I could be cool. Like, no, I hate fillings. Let's be real honest, but I don't mind doing them. As far as, you know, I don't have anybody that I can bring in to do it at the moment.
Yet.
Maybe one day I'll hire an associate and they really love fillings.
Yes. One day.
That's how it works.
We're going to make that happen. Well, that's good. And you kind of brought up, you kind of segued into another thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and that's dental implants. And so, you know, having gone through our training, I know that you weren't doing implants in your practice prior. I want to kind of just talk the story about what is implants meant for you. You know, where were you surgically before taking the training, and what made you want to add implants to your practice?
I think for me, it was just kind of that logical next step. And actually, we talked about this at the mastermind, and you looked at me and went, why haven't you done any training yet?
And just so everybody knows,
you literally almost called Justin Moody and signed me up for Implant Pathways.
like
you can either sign up for the dick or you can sign up for Implant Pathways.
Yeah, okay. And that's what I want to make sure people understand. Yes, I have a vested interest if you take our program, but what's most important to me is whatever gets you started the fastest. That's all I care about. If it's $1,000 more, $1,000 less, it doesn't matter. Just get started. And just like with scheduling in your life, if you don't schedule, I know that if I don't get you to schedule then, it's the likelihood of doing it goes down.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Yeah, I think that was probably the biggest thing that I got out of the mastermind was that I actually signed up for an implant course. I realized I was in my own way, and I just had to kind of get kicked in the butt a little bit and get out of my own way and sign up for a course and commit to it. And so before I came to the DIC, I was is that appropriate?
Digital implant. digital implant continuum, but you know.
Sorry, I said that. Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But before I came to
the
implant continuum.
He's so happy right now. This is, he's been waiting for this. Children.
Before I came to the implant continuum, I was taking out teeth. I was doing extractions. I was grafting some.
Kind of.
Trying to graft more and more. I had done a quick bone implant grafting course with an oral surgeon down the road, and he put on a great course. So I had kind of started grafting some. We were still offering it. It wasn't a, hey, we're going to do an extraction and graft. It was, we're going to take out this tooth, and I would recommend that maybe we put this graft in if you want to, because it helps. Now it's become a, hey, we're going to take out this tooth and put in a graft. You don't really have an option. I mean, technically you have an option, but I don't offer it as an option.
But you present it.
Yeah, it's presented all as one thing. And actually most teeth that come out now are presented as an extraction, a graft, an implant, and a tooth.
Tooth replacement therapy is what we call it.
Tooth replacement all the way to the, from extraction to the new crown. And it's been fantastic. Most people look at it and go, oh man, that's a lot. And then we start talking to them about payment plans and setting up their financial arrangements. And so really it all kind of just rolls together and you've got to have all of it working well. And I think it's slowly coming together for us.
It's interesting you say that, Jeff, because I'm just smirking right over here. It's, I believe, you know, the mastermind, the fundamental concepts of the mastermind are so important because, frankly speaking, you took some extraction grafting training before you came through our mastermind and before you came through our implant program, but you didn't implement it at the same level as you did now after having the fundamentals in place, the ability to fit them in your schedule. You know, listen, most of the extractions come in because the patient's in pain. They can't wait 2-3 weeks to get in. So you've got to have some spaces in the next day or so to get it done. You got to have a way for them to make it affordable. Otherwise, people are going to just choose the extraction only and then leave it to chance whether or not they're going to be able to get an implant. So they got to have all these things. You got to have your team comfortable and on board and your team knowing that this is important to you. And that's where the leadership component comes in. And it's just, it's so fundamental. People often ask me, like, how are you able to do in a PPO environment the cosmetic cases I used to do or still do, the implant cases that I'm doing, the hybrids? How are you doing all of these in that kind of environment? And I always say it, the fundamentals are the same. It's better diagnosis with good communication, a way to make it affordable, and a schedule that prioritizes the things we want to do. And I can't go over it enough for people to understand that really that foundation is so important, whether you're an implant dentist, whether you want to be a high-level restorative dentist, whether you want to do sleep, whether you want to do sedation, whether you want to do cosmetics, whether you want to do more ortho cases. Those fundamentals are so important for the long-term growth of your career. And that's why we're so focused on making the mastermind bigger and better and getting more people through it, because I'm convinced that dentistry doesn't have to be complicated. Dentistry can be relatively simple if you focus on the four main things, and everything kind of just falls into place as long as you commit to it and hold yourself accountable. I mean, I don't think it's that complicated.
I think that's the crazy thing.
Yeah, I think Jeff is the epitome of like gaining the clarity of what you want to implement into your practice, and then what you want on your schedule. And that's what everybody wants, is I want more, but what?
Yeah.
And they're not clear and they're not communicating with their team what they want or how they're going to achieve it. They just want more. And then it's frustrating. It's frustrating for the doctor. It's frustrating for the team. And then nobody has a set goal.
Yeah, they don't. And I think it's so. All right. Let me ask you this, Jeff, a little bit off the cuff here. Okay. What changed that you were able to do more extraction and grafting now than you did? I mean, it's probably not the clinical training. I mean, what changed?
Absolutely nothing as far as I mean, I guess from an extraction and graft point, you know, the first week of the implant continuum, we hit the extraction and graft pretty hard. And I thought I knew how to do it well. And I was doing it at a mediocre level. I thought, I think afterwards I felt much more comfortable with it. You know, you guys did a really good job showing us kind of the whole procedure, really getting your hands dirty and getting in there and being able to put a good graft in and get it all set up. And we invested in a centrifuge and started doing PRF and, everything that comes along with taking out a tooth and grafting it really well to set it up for an implant. I think the biggest thing that changed for us was the prioritizing it. Like you said, we're not, you know, there's not more people needing extractions than were before necessarily. There's not a huge jump in my clinical skills from day one to day two. It's more the prioritizing it and making it feasible for patients to be able to do it.
You know, I often say that when something becomes important to you, it becomes important to those around you. So when extracting and grafting becomes important to you as the business owner, it becomes important to your team members, because
you hear it over and over again.
And then when it becomes important to your team members, it becomes important to your patients, because they're the ones telling your patients this stuff. So it's not hard.
And then they're the ones putting it on your schedule where you want it, because it's blocked.
Yeah. And it comes back from that, you know, it's reinforcement, whether it's positive reinforcement or negative reinforcement. It's reinforcement. It comes back, like, for example, Jeff said, I have days where, I mean, I'm sure you're exaggerating. I have 14 crown seats and 20 fillings or whatever it is. I hope you're exaggerating.
definitely exaggerating that.
But it comes back with what happens a lot of times. What I see is when people notice that they don't say anything to their team members, or they give their team members harsh criticism about it. And instead, I think that's easy. You know, I would go to my assistant and be like, Whitney, how did today feel? And she's like, it felt horrible. I go, here's the great news, Whitney. I didn't schedule one of those patients, okay?
I didn't do that to you.
So you guys are in control of never feeling like this again, okay? And it's that type of leadership. It's that type of open and honest communication. That's why I'm a big fan of having a weekly sit down with your team members, impromptu, not like a planned sit down where you talk to them and you say, hey, what's going on in life? Here's what I'm seeing. Tell me how I can make you better. Tell me how I can help you enjoy work more, you know, making it more about them. It works wonders, because when you get to that point that you want to do something difficult, they respect you and they don't think you're coming down on them. It's simpler and simpler to implement higher level procedures. And as you continue in your career, you're at a point now where you're going to be implementing the easiest things you're ever going to implement in your practice right now. It only gets more complicated because you're implementing, next it's going to be hybrids or soft tissue grafting or, you know, things like that that take more clinical skill, and there's more phases and steps. You know, right now an implant it's almost wham bam thank you ma'am in a sense, right? It's come in, take the tooth out. Yeah, they're super easy at this point, right? But when you get into maybe it's sinus grafting where you have to do it prehand and then not a bump, but you know, you have to do a sinus lift before you get going. You have to coordinate these patients through care. Maybe it's a complex case, coordinated case where you're working with orthodontics and perio. And, you know, these cases become more complex in dealing with people. So it's as easy as it's going to get right now. And I can't believe, you know, I can't be more proud of you that and happy for you that so early in your career, you're getting to reap the benefits of all of this. It took me 5, 6, 7 years before I really, you know, before I had that aha moment that this is kind of what I wanted to do. And you know, then it took me 8 years ago before I finally realized I need an associate. And here you are 3, 4 years into your career, seeing that as an opportunity, seeing that, hey, that is something I want to move towards because it's going to help me do more of what I want to do. It's unbelievable.
I mean, literally in 1 year, you have implemented sedation, 5 or 6 different new systems throughout the mastermind. And then when you told your team we were going to get into implants with hundreds of parts and pieces, like what did this do for them? How did they react? And then how did it affect them? And how did it affect your practice?
So they kind of looked at me and went, what are we doing?
Right.
Because they like you said, there's hundreds of parts and pieces. Like, and they said, how in the world are we going to do this? Now, thankfully, my treatment coordinator / surgical assistant had a little bit of experience with some implants, and so she was somewhat comfortable, and she really enjoys surgery. So it made it easy as far as from that side, that standpoint. The hardest thing was, I think, getting everybody on board of, hey, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna schedule it this way, and we're gonna do it this way. Because it really was a little bit scary. Kind of the first time, I think we had like 3.5 hours blocked off for an implant.
I had like four or five.
We got done in like an hour, and we're sitting around going, well, that was easy. I mean, what are we going to do now? You know, because we weren't sure where it was that, what am I going to do with all these hundreds of parts and pieces? What am I going to do with all this stuff? What if the patient's uncomfortable? And come to find out, we sedated them, and so they were basically sleeping through the whole procedure. So that was easy. So we didn't have to worry about fumbling around with parts and pieces because the patient's not sitting there like, what in the world are y'all doing? Because she was taking a nap. And then from there, we got it all squared away. And like I said, it took us like an hour on the very first one. And like just the other day, we did a sinus bump and an implant, and we were done in an hour. And it was nothing. We actually did 2 in 1 day. And my assistant looked at me and went, well, that was a fun day. Like we did 2 implants today, and we did a whole bunch of buildups for a big case that we've got going, that we did a whole bunch of buildups for, and she was sedated, and one of the implant patients was sedated. And so it made the day super easy. We had a lot of fun, and we're looking for when we have that on our schedule next rather than just a regular day.
Well, you know what I'm going to tell you here. Well, you may not realize what I'm going to tell you, but if you got to set a goal of how many sedations you want to do per month, and then you got to share that with your team, and then you got to schedule, and just like you held true to your, hey, we're going to twiddle our thumbs if we don't have an implant patient here, I want you to twiddle your thumbs if you don't have a sedation patient at that whatever your block is. And whether your goal is one a day, eventually, you know, before you get to one a day, you got to get to one a week. You know, whether it's, you know, one a week or whether it's two a week, whatever it is, the first step is you got to realize how many you want to do realistically. Then you got to tell your team and come up with an action plan of how you're going to make that happen. And then you got to block it. And magically, you'll be doing one a day if that's what you want to get to. So on the subject of sedation, tell me, what has sedation meant for your practice?
Oh, it's been one of those things that I went to it thinking, I came to the course, and I was kind of thinking, this will be something I might use here or there. It'll give me the ability to do kind of some bigger stuff, because I knew I wanted to get into implant, wanted to do some bigger cases, and you know, even sometimes just doing a couple crowns, patients are sitting there fidgeting. They get frustrated sitting in the chair, or they're super anxious. And so for me, I didn't think it was going to be as big of a deal initially. And then I started sedating patients, and we were like, wow, this is awesome. And the first patient I did, he called me the next day, and he said, I've never been able to go to the dentist. And we were doing like a root canal. And he was like, first of all, I don't really remember being there, but this is great. Like, I'm not uncomfortable. And so, like, he came in and we finished everything up on him the next time and didn't even have to sedate him. So it's been super neat to see patients kind of transition from that anxious to not anxious necessarily. And it was really just as simple as we did one procedure under sedation. And then the next time they're like, well, I don't think I need that. I think I'm feeling much more comfortable with you guys. But it's been a lot of fun for us because it's really given us the chance to really dig in and do some of these bigger things that beforehand weren't really feasible. I mean, it wouldn't really have been feasible for me to do four or five crowns on somebody in one day without sedating them necessarily, because I can't sit there that long. So I'm not going to ask a patient to sit there for that long, you know, but whenever they're sedated and they're basically snoozing through it, I mean, it made it super easy, and they were easy to work on. We had fun doing it. They had fun doing it because they're not sitting there in the chair forever, all anxious about things. And it's just made life a little bit easier, given us the ability to kind of grow what we're doing.
And do you think it has given your patients the opportunity to say yes easier with the implants? You think you've done more implants because of it?
100%. Because yeah. I know of, in fact, at least four patients that we did an implant on that there was no way that they were even thinking about it. And then we told them, well, you can do this conscious sedation that you kind of come in and basically snooze through it. You don't really remember being here, and it'll be super easy. And they looked at us and went, seriously, I can do it. And then they did it. And, you know, they called us back the next day and we're like, well, I'm not even sore, first of all. So this is great. And, I've got an implant in there. So in a couple of months, I'm going to have a tooth. Right. And we had to walk them through the whole procedure again. And, they were super excited, and they actually told us verbatim that what you said, there was no way I would have even thought about doing an implant before you offered that sedation. So
yeah, it's amazing to me. You know, it's dentistry doesn't have to be complicated. In fact, dentistry can be simple, and it's just a matter of making it easy for your patients, just doing the things that, you know, get in the way: time, fear, money. And I do want to talk about one thing that you said, and that's big dentistry. And big case dentistry isn't always, you know, big case dentistry isn't always fancy dentistry. Big case dentistry can be a whole quadrant, you know, two crowns and a filling. It can be, you know, two crowns and a couple of fillings in a quadrant. You know, that can be very profitable dentistry, and it can be very enjoyable dentistry, more enjoyable if your patient is sedated. It's even more enjoyable if your patient has paid you before they come in for the appointment. You know, it doesn't, and that's what I love so much about dentistry. Dentistry is a profession where you call the shots. you know, if you want to be an implant only practice, that's what you're going to be. If you want to say, hey, I work 7 to 12 and that's it. If you say, you know, between 7 and 9, I do this procedure and nothing else, that's it. Like last year, we decided that I would no longer do extractions without grafts. And it's amazing. I no longer do extractions without grafts. And that doesn't mean that our patients aren't getting served. It just means that the patients are getting served maybe by my associate partner. You know, maybe we're referring them somewhere and helping other dentists.
Or down the street. You know? Helping other dentists. What a nice way to look at that.
You know, and it's really created more space and margin in our practice to do more of the things that I want to do. And you'll go through seasons of your life. You're young right now, Jeff. You got young kids, a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, if I remember correctly. And yeah. So, you know, you're going to go through seasons of life where, you know, maybe going to work a little bit later is more important so you can drop them to school. Or maybe you're the pickup duty. Or, you know, maybe you need to take some Thursday evenings off because you got ball practice. Because we're Southern, we're going to say it's ball. It's baseball, football, soccer ball, it's all ball.
It's all ball.
It's all ball.
So we actually, this year, this was actually something I completely forgot about it until you started mentioning that, that you kind of challenged me when we were at the mastermind was to take some more time off. Cause I had said, I want to take, I think I told you I wanted to take 3 weeks off this next year. And you were like, well, why not 4? And I was like, well, I don't know.
I didn't know it was an option. So, I forgot I owned the place.
I just never thought about 4. And, so I actually, so far I've taken 2 weeks off this year. And
that's halfway to 4.
One more. I've got another week in August planned. I'm going to a course, but I'm also my wife and I are going out to Vegas for our anniversary. So we're also pairing it with a class, which is always
perfect.
Fun, but it's a whole another week off, and so it's been a lot of fun. And I think we've got one more week planned at the end of the year. That as of right now, I have zero plans. It's just I'm not in the office, and so. It's kind of that's a fun one that I never would have thought that I could take 4 weeks off just to take it off.
Well, my challenge again, for you for 2022 is why not 5?
Why work?
No, at some point I'm going to be like, why work?
1 week a month.
You know, why not?
There you go.
You know, it's
that would be nice.
Well, you know, again, if you schedule it, it's amazing it happens. And by the way, just for our listeners, are you producing less or making less money by taking more time off?
Absolutely not.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
And how has implants, it's been 8 months. Amazing. How has implants affected that?
It's been a huge change. So I started planting implants in my office in November. And I was talking to T-Bone earlier. I ran a report and implant related services is like 8% of our practice.
From 0% to 8%.
From
in nine months.
I mean, we were restoring implants. So, I mean, it might have been like half a percentage, if that, you know, because we had restored a couple implants.
Two.
So I ran that from, that was from last July to now. And so in the last year, it's grown to 8% of our practice, which allows me to take that time off and things like that, that I never would have thought. Plus it's a lot of fun to do. So
I think on one of our text threads, I think I saved it actually. It's, I think you said, I get sad when I have a day without some kind of surgery in it.
It really is. It's kind of a bummer whenever you don't have, some sort of surgery. I've laughed that, man, we should really just focus on surgery. And then I turn around and realize I'm like right next door to my oral surgeon. And, he actually encourages the same thing. So I don't feel too bad about it.
But I was going to say, they're busy enough.
He's great. But it's a lot of fun.
And you want to do surgeries
I've
every
really
day?
Grown to love. I would love to do surgeries.
You know, simple.
27 teeth on Thursday. I'm super excited about it.
Great. Here's how you do more surgeries. Here's how you do a surgery every day.
Do you want to guess first before he tells you?
I have a feeling it might have something to do with blocking the schedule.
No, I'm not going to say blocking. I'm going to say give your team, put $20 in the pot for every day that you have a surgery. And reward your team for scheduling a surgery every day. And it'll become important to you, and you'll find.
Trust me, they will find people.
They will. You're 20,
like you won't believe.
Your 27 teeth on Thursday is going to be 27 days. They're going to convince a patient to come in for 27 straight days.
One day.
But it's make it important to them. Yeah, make it important to them, and you'll do more of it. Again, it doesn't have to be complicated. I know a lot of us listening will be like, well, it's not that easy. And you're right, it's not easy. Anything good takes hard work. It takes getting uncomfortable. It takes, you know, doing it, going through the bumps and bruises that go with it. Nothing is magical that it just happens. But, you know, the first step is realizing you want something different. The second step is putting an action plan together of what it takes to do it. The third step is starting down the road of doing it. And then the fourth step is fine-tuning it, tweaking it, and experimenting until you get it right. It's no different than a recipe, you know, for whatever somebody cooks. I mean, I'm not a cook, so I don't know. But it's no different than a recipe. Sometimes you put a little more salt, it tastes better. Sometimes you put a little less salt, it tastes... And then you finally figure it out. And slowly but surely, you'll figure it out. And that's what's beauty about owning your own practice. It's what I continue to hope happens for our profession. I hope our profession continues to have people owning their own practices. And I hope we don't get completely commoditized. But here's the benefit. If our profession does become more commoditized, people like you, Jeff, will do even better because there are enough people that want personalized care. There are enough people that can recognize the difference between assembly line dentistry and personalized dentistry. And the more commoditized we get, the easier we stand out to our patients. And to me, that's the beauty of some of this corporate dentistry that's going on. And there are some positives to corporate dentistry, but allowing us to separate ourselves becomes easier as corporate dentistry becomes more prolific and more out there to the public.
I think I would 100% agree.
Well, one last thing I have.
I've had patients come in that tell me exactly that. What's up?
Yeah. Sorry, I think one thing that's super cool and what we're excited about is our Mastermind Alumni Weekend we have coming up. So do you still keep in contact with your groups from the Digital Implant Continuum, from the Mastermind? Do you feel like you made lasting, friendships and people you can bounce ideas and cases off from that?
Oh, definitely. I think both of those text threads are still regularly blown up with things. I know like the Implant Continuum, I think regularly we get photos of people doing implants. I know I placed the other day, whenever I placed those two implants in one day, I sent both of those and was like, hey, I got to do two in one day. I think everybody kind of still enjoys being able to send stuff over and be like, hey, look what I did, or have questions. I know in our Implant Continuum text, we had somebody had a question on a couple implant things, and it's nice because we had mentors in there that were like, hey, this is what you need to do to fix that. Same thing with our Mastermind. I mean, I think we regularly are all trying to plan some way to get together, whether it's who's taking what courses, or with the Alumni Weekend coming up, everybody's excited about that one. So
yeah, it's awesome. Jeff, how can people get in touch with you if they have questions, want to learn more about you, want to come visit your office, want to see if you actually have a red beard and brown hair?
Oh, and I have one more thing. The fall of 2019, Jeff's coming to the course, and I'm like, I've Googled him. I can't find him anywhere. And you were in the midst of opening your new practice. I'm like, I can't, his email's bouncing back. He's not answering me. I can't find him on Google. Is he real? And I just have to say, your new website, I'm so proud. I can find you on Google. It's awesome.
Yeah, the guys that put that together did a really good job. They're actually pretty local too, so... it's nice because I can call them and they're like around the corner, and I don't feel like they're halfway around the world because they're two blocks away. But yeah. They did an awesome job.
People are definitely halfway around the world.
No joke. Sore subject around here right now.
Anyways, I'm just glad you're real and we can find you on Google now. If anybody's looking for you, Westmore Dental Studio.
I'm glad I'm real too. it's Westmore Dental Studio. You can find us online. Our website is westmoredentalstudio.com. You can send me an email. I might answer it. I'm actually really bad at emails. I'm sorry.
Can somebody slide into your DMs?
Jeff, 100%. My wife might get jealous, but it's okay. My email is jeff.scamahorn@gmail.com. It's scammahorn. It's very phonetic. So, It's pretty easy. Yeah.
Well, thanks for being on today.
Jeff, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
It was awesome having you. I look forward to seeing you again. And, you know, just listen, a couple of action items. There's no reason you can't take 5 weeks off next year. Okay. Make sure you're putting money in your savings plan. You know, that's important. Okay. Make sure that we're blocking and rewarding surgeries every day, and you'll do more surgeries. And make sure that you're limiting the number of things you don't like to do down to a minimal to help support your business, or down to zero if your business doesn't need them. And then the big picture is, at some point you need another dentist, whether that's 1 day a week, 2 days a week, 3 days a week. But we have to start moving towards that, because no dentist should practice alone anymore. So that's all I got.
To have somebody to bounce ideas off of.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, if you get somebody straight out of school, they're not going to be bouncing a lot of ideas off of them.
I'll be the idea bouncer. How about that?
There you go.
I like to talk, so it works.
And good luck getting your podcast off the ground, okay?
Yeah, so you have a fancy microphone now.
Now that we've mentioned that, you're going to have to do it.
A whole bunch of like recording. Yeah, I'm going to actually have to do something with it now. I've got like two or three episodes that I've got to figure out how to edit and make not sound completely sketchy.
You can do it.
Just do it in your radio voice and everything will be okay.
Well, we will see everyone else next week.
Next week. Everybody, awesome. Thank you guys, thanks, guys, so much for tuning in this week for the T-Bone Speaks podcast. We want to thank Jeff for coming on. And, of course, I want to thank Meredith for being the hostess with the mostest. And if we can help you, help improve your practice, help you get what you need to do, help you expand your clinical diversity, please visit us at 3D-dentists.com or tbonespeaks.com. And we look forward to seeing you on next week's episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.